Thank you. I was really going to say ahead of time, I'm not doing this for the applause that will come. This is just a house of honor, which I love. And one of the ways we honor people is just to appreciate them. And I think you probably saw that when you saw even people up here sharing just how much honor flies around this place. And the more you give it, the more it comes back. The kingdom is just that way. So I wanted to share a little bit about, because I know a lot of new people are coming. Even since January, we've seen a real spike in attendance. We have an unusual church, meaning that, in a lot of ways, but meaning in this sense that people not only come from all over the Bay Area, but they kind of come when they come. They don't necessarily, you know, a lot of you come every week, but a lot of people are kind of, they just come now and then. So any given week, you're going to have a different group. And for some of you, if you're new here and you're thinking, well, I don't know a lot of people. Actually, I don't know a lot of people anymore. It's true. Because of the nature of everyone that just keeps coming all the time. So what I'm trying to say is this, that I'll tell you all this. You're as in as you'll ever be. Okay, you're already in. You don't have to work your way in here. But I will say, like anything in life, if you'll step out a little bit and try to meet some people, you'll find a lot of really loving, caring, wonderful people. And we do try to just love on as many people as we can. But if you're ever feeling left out, just kind of, you know, snuggle up to somebody that seems warm and snuggly, and they'll put an arm around you. And it's kind of true. I know not everybody's huggy types, but I'm just saying. But this is a really, really special place. We are 8 years in the making. Well, it's the Lord's making. He said from the beginning, Jesus told me he was the pastor of this church. And he's the shepherd. And but I want to tell you a couple reasons why it's so special. One of the main reasons, one of the things you saw here today is that we have totally rolled out the red carpet for the Holy Spirit. What we've discovered is he's a really nice guy. I mean that. He's a really nice guy. He's amazing. And I think the church in general has been really afraid of the Holy Spirit when he shows up. But the more that you see it in operation in a church that's filled with love and grace, you start to see how the power is supposed to be used to heal, to encourage, to build up. I assure you, that no one in this church, at least especially those up front, no one is here trying to be weird. That's not our goal. It's really not our goal. Our goal is we want the Lord's presence. And what we've discovered is that when we give Holy Spirit permission to be himself, we just get a whole lot more of him and a whole lot more of all that the Father wanted to pour out on us. And what we've also discovered, a lot of times churches start that way, like we started that way when we were in a home group, but sometimes as it gets larger and larger, sometimes they feel like they really can't have that kind of freedom because there's too many people and too many weird things can happen. What we discovered is as long as we continue in this atmosphere of love and grace and honor and compassion, seeing the treasures in each other, I'll tell you what, very, very few people get hurt at all. And when it occasionally happens, then you just go deal with it. You know, you deal with it, but you don't shut it all down because then everybody misses out. So, but I want to tell you about some of the other things that make it safe, that make this environment of the Holy Spirit's freedom safe. A huge part of it is to know, each one of you, to know the Father's love for you, to know his huge, compassionate heart for you. Like, it's essential that you know that God is the Father is not just putting up with you. He's, you know what I'm saying? He's not just going, oh, okay, all right, well, I guess I have to love you because I said I would. No. He is crazy in love with you. He just goes. if you knew what you did to his heart, you would never be the same. And I'm telling you, we are knowing it more and more and more. And the more you get this, that God's, oh, he's just so in love with you because you're his. Not because of your performance. You can get off that performance treadmill forever. You get to get off that. He accepts you because you're his. You're daddy's boy, you're daddy's girl, and that's just the way it is. And you might as well get used to it now, because if so, you're going to live a much happier life. Much more fruitful, much more in love with God. You're going to stop beating yourself up, which doesn't draw you an ounce closer to him. All you're doing is agreeing with the devil. Your daddy loves you. He's passionate about you. And the more you receive it, it changes you. And you look at life differently. And the next thing you know, you have all kinds of love in your heart for other people that you didn't have before. Gee, I wonder where that came from. And that's why this place is so safe. There's so much of the Father's love. I have had so many people, even those who think this is a really unusual place. And it is unusual, and that's a good thing. But they'll come through the doors, and even if they go, wow, I'm not sure about all this, but they say, but the love, you can cut it with a knife in here. And you know what? That everybody in this room and everyone who comes through those doors who hasn't been here yet is desperate for love. We have to have it. So there's something about love that makes it go, ah, okay, I'm not sure I get all this yet, but there's a whole lot of love here and I need it, so I'm going to stick around. The other thing is to know the acceptance that's yours because of Christ. When he says on the cross that it's finished, that's exactly what he meant. That means there's not a single thing he can go back up there and do for you. The only thing that's left is for you to accept it and agree. That you are right with God because of what Christ has done. You are right with God. Not when you feel like it. Not when you think you had a good day. Not when you have done away with some besetting sin. Now he loves me. No, he already loved you before. He loves you just the same. In fact, you wouldn't have gotten rid of anything if it weren't for him anyway. It's just Christ in you. No more, no less. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. So, on the one hand, we don't have to get all boastful about it, because it's just him. On the other hand, you don't have to go and beat yourself up and try to do a million things to make yourself right with God, because it won't work. You're already right with him. But you do have to believe that. Because if you don't, you will suffer as if you're not right with him, even though that's not true. I'm just telling it like it is. That's just the gospel. He did it all for us. So we accept it, we walk into it. Then on top of that, in this culture, we say, hey, because God's in a good mood and he really loves us and he thinks we're wonderful, how about if we see that in each other? Wouldn't the church be a different place if we all saw that in each other? How many of you know it's not rocket science to see things in other people that they need to change? Anyone know that? Anyone here have issues? And you know what? If 5 or 10 people tonight told you straight to your face about those issues, that's not going to help you. What you don't see is how awesome you are. And that's where God will send one person after another until you get it, how awesome you are, and then you start walking in it and living in it because you actually believe it. That's the way the kingdom works. It's all by faith. We just haven't realized how awesome we are yet. And that's not boastful. That's just Christ in me. That's just the way it is. So I just thought I would tell you these few things. I realized again, you know, some of you who've been here a long time, you've heard me say these 100 times, and actually not one of you have said you're tired of hearing me say it. No, I haven't heard that once. So because we all need those reminders. But for some of you who are new, you really need to know where we're coming from. You need to know why this place is so special. Because we're actually believing God. We're believing what He says. And when you do that, your life changes. And we're watching one person after another after another. People come in here, sometimes really broken and shattered. Sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of times it came from the church, you know, from people, believers who didn't know how to treat each other with love and grace and honor. And they come here and people just get healed up over time. Because mostly what we're going to do is love you. You know, in that love, do we ever confront? Of course we do. That wouldn't be love if we didn't ever help you out. But I'm saying the way we do it is extremely different from the way most of you have ever experienced it before. Wouldn't you say so, Andrew? So this is what I want to do. Before I turn it over to Lonnie, I went through some prophetic words that came, most of them came through the Elijah list. And I just looked, you know, some of the words for 2010 or for the decade, and I just started looking over them, and it was amazing how many parallels there were in so many of the words. I wouldn't have time to read them all, but and I didn't even put them all on this paper. I just picked the ones that really resonated with my spirit as well. And I'm going to read a couple of them to you, and by way of doing this, let you know some of what's been going on at Blazing Fire. This is Cindy Jacobs, for starters. 2010 is the year in which we will win. In fact, before I go on, let me say this. I'm going to tell you the punchline as I start this thing. In the depth of my spirit, we've all heard a bunch of words like this a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and you can get a little jaded and say, well, I've heard these before, and I'm telling you, this is different. I'm telling you, everything in my spirit knows it. This time is different. Something has totally shifted in the kingdom. I mean, it's always shifting. I understand that. It's always increasing. But I'm telling you, I don't know if a fast forward button was hit or what, but God is on it. So whatever discouragement, whatever you haven't seen promises-wise, I'm telling you right now, as you hear things, as your spirit hears things that your spirit knows is truth, agree. And it's even better if you can agree out loud. It's way better if you can agree out loud to what you hear that is right. Because as Joe just said, agreement with God changes things. It does. 2010 is the year in which we will win. This is a year to triumph in Christ and diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. She also says we will win through worship. It is the key to triumph. Great joy will break out in the midst of worship as God laughs at His enemies through His people. And I'm telling you that worship, enjoying the Lord's presence here is always going to be our first priority. Always, always, always. That's why we are in no hurry to move through worship and get on to whatever. I don't know. But His presence is the goal. 2010 is the year to wake up. This is a year when God will help us see in a supernatural way those things that we have felt like we could not understand. A little later on with some words from Kim Clement, he also says that same thing. 2010 will be a year of the wind. Where it is? There it is right there. There's a new Pentecost pouring out upon God's people who are hungering for more of Him. The wind of the Holy Spirit is going to blow us in the right direction and into the place that God wants us to be. We will see glorious manifestations of His divine power with signs and wonders. This past year, we have seen amazing miracles. And I'm telling you, God is just getting started. I mean it. We've I can't think. I mean, just about any disease you could name, we've seen healed. Cancer, you know, many times. We've seen all kinds of limbs and other things. Digits growing out, Lee. Yeah, I mean, most of you don't know that, but two of his fingers grew out. One, you know, 30 seconds, a 30-year-old injury, and his finger grows out, including the nail, in 30 seconds. Come on. Amazing multiplication of food when we were out feeding the homeless in Oakland. All kinds of food multiplied. Mashed potatoes, turkey, pies, kept multiplying until everyone was fed. It was amazing. Prayed for and seen the lame get up and walk. I have seen the blind see. I've seen all kinds of things, all kinds of diseases gone. The one thing I had not yet seen was someone who was completely deaf who completely heard. And that happened to a lady standing right here this last year. And what I'm saying is, whatever it is, wherever you are, keep going. Because what you haven't seen yet, you're going to see. And everything we have seen is just a precursor to the more that is coming. It's going to be outrageous. David Herzog says, great favor is about to be released with the suddenlies of the Lord. God is able to make all favor and grace abound in 2010, as it will be a year of double grace to believers who have been faithful in not giving up and not quitting on the promises. 2010 is a year of invading the enemy's strongholds, taking the high places where false altars have been set up and setting up an altar to the Lord. For example, Hollywood, media, New Age, false religions, businesses, health industry, etc. Sundance. Come on. 2010 through 2012 is a couple years of advancing much deeper into the harvest of souls. You all know this, right? Because if it was just about us enjoying the Lord, He'd just take us home right now. He's like, man, I cannot wait another second to have you with me. That's His goal. But He says, I want my banquet table filled. Filled, filled, filled. So while we're here, it is still about souls. Divine strategies are coming also to move into influencing the secular world this year. It's a year of new positioning. Many ministries, and I declare this for us, many ministries will be possessing new properties and buildings. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As a means of possessing the gates of our enemies, both in the physical and in the spiritual realms. God keeps talking to me about this. We obviously talked about it at the elder retreat as well and prayed through this. But I'm telling you, something really special is going to emerge. I don't know what it is. We're still in this place where we're expecting whatever it is to show up any moment. Like we're going out and doing our job. We're looking around the valley and stuff. But I'm just saying, we all know there's something in our hearts that knows that God's about to do something outrageous that only He could do for us. And one of the things He just spoke to me 2 days ago was about revival, that revival will hit this region. He told me that 20 years ago. He said, my spirit's going to sweep through this region with or without you. Revival in this land with or without you. Do you want to be part of it? See, He's coming with or without us. But you always have His permission. Come on, join me. Let's have some fun doing this together. And what He just showed me a couple of days ago is that this building that He has for us is a birthing center for revival. Now, I know revival's here. I really do know that. We're in revival. But so much more is coming. So much more revival is coming. And I'll tell you also, the Lord's made it really clear, we're going to be helping out the poor quite a bit. That's totally His heart. 2010 is a year to totally consecrate your life to His purposes in your life. Don't allow apathy and loss of hope and vision, or you'll start to retreat. The spirit of faith and overcoming will start to invade believers. There's more, but I'm going to move on to Kim Clement. I foresee unity in the church, not the religious system, but the true church of Jesus Christ. where there can be a baptism of fire again. That's that one. A baptism of fire again, where men will once again join, men and women will join their hearts together and have one ultimate goal: to introduce the world to the most wonderful person in the universe, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he says the same thing, I'm not going to read it, the same thing Cindy said about we've had visions, we haven't really understood them all. He's saying, I'm going to bring understanding to some of the dreams and visions I've given you that you haven't really understood. And then he says, once again, California shall lead the nation and lead the world as it takes the kingdom by force, says the Lord. God said, what's about to emerge in 2010 shall cause California to come out of its financial doldrums, and people from all over the earth shall come to California as they went to Brownsville, as they went to all these places, other places. But God said, this time, the fire will not stop burning. That's right. This time the fire will not stop burning, says the Lord. This time I will take multiple men and women, youth, young people. I will raise them up and they will go to the highways and byways, God said. They will go into the kingdoms of the earth and they will shake it, says the Lord. Leviticus 7, let me just read this to you. This actually isn't in his word. This is my addition. Leviticus 7. Y'all been studying Leviticus lately? It's really good, some parts of it. Well, okay, all of it's good. Leviticus 6, 12 and 13 says, the fire on the altar that consumes the burnt offering must not be allowed to go out. Every morning, the priest, how many in this room are priests? About 2/3 of you know the truth. The other third of you, I'm telling you, read 2 Peter, let's see, where is it? 1 Peter 2:9. Read 1 Peter 2:9. And then you tell me if you're a priest. The answer is you are. The priest will make up with wood, arranging the burnt offering on it and burning the fat from the communion sacrifices. The fire must always be burning on the altar. It must never go out. Some of you may say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me go in Leviticus 24. Yahweh spoke to Moses and said, order the Israelites to bring you crushed olive oil for the lampstand. I got to preach on this another time. There's way too much in here. I'm not going to go into it. And keep a flame burning there continually. Aaron, who's the high priest, will keep it permanently in trim from evening to morning outside the curtain of the testimony in the tent of meeting before Yahweh. That's that place of intimacy. This is a perpetual decree for your descendants. How many descendants of Abraham in this room? If you are in Christ, that is you. A perpetual priesthood. You and I and all of us are to keep the fire burning. It must never go out. I'm going to stop myself, otherwise Lonnie will never get up here. So, I already told her she has as much time as she wants. Well, I gave her some parameters, but pretty much as much time as she wants. So, she's not going to get cut short, all right? Let's see. My knowledge shall spread through California. This is still Kim Clement. And the Lord says, as you enter into 2010, I'm going to hear a lot of amens here, okay? God says, I will restore everything that the canker worm has taken away, everything that the grasshopper has stolen from you. God said, this restoration shall manifest quicker than before. Therefore, rejoice tonight, because you are my portion, says the Lord. And I'm just going to read one paragraph. This woman named Carol Kelly went on and on and on and on about restoration. I'm going to read one paragraph. 2010 will be a year of restoration. Restoration of what has been previously lost will come about on many levels, both for individual believers and the church worldwide. Watch expectantly for God's restoration and increase to take place during the coming months in relationships, in health, in faith, in family, and finances. Have you given up hope that the Lord would fulfill a dream or vision He has given you? Look to Him to restore, revive, and bring to pass dreams that have died, been lost, abandoned, or broken. The Lord says, I have plans for double restoration. And the just one more sentence. This is from Teresa Phillips. She says, I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. Mass evangelisms will take place in 2010. It will be stronger than ever, says the Lord. And those who are saved will run like rushing waters. For I will ignite them as firebrands plucked from a fire, and they will cause many more to run into the house of the Lord because of the good news. And I just want to say that this is what revival looks like. When we're not in times of revival, the church gets in a place of trying really hard to try to make some things happen because we know something's out of place. It's not quite right. The problem is that all our efforts in the world aren't going to produce what we're looking for. We simply have to go back to worshiping, agreeing, and God says at just the right time, He says, I will pour out my Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit. And when He does, repentance happens, people turn, whole societies are changed. You know, there's whole cities that have been changed because the Lord sweeps through it. 90% plus get saved, and I'm telling you, the whole town changes. But it wasn't because of a great program. It was because the Lord chose sovereignly to pour out His Spirit. He has heard our cries. We need to keep asking, but He's heard our cries for more. And His answer is an unequivocal yes. Yes, yes, yes. His answer is yes. So I'm telling you, as pastor of this church, as a person who's been seeking God for a long time, who's had a lot of promises about God's Spirit sweeping through this region, I'm telling you, something feels tremendously different. Something has shifted in the last few weeks, even in the last month. Something huge is here and happening and on the horizon. So do not lose hope. Keep going. Keep going. All right? Jim, go ahead and switch us out. Jim's going to switch out the CD.